So the point of the gospel today is to have faith, in case that wasn't obvious. To have faith in almost the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. To have faith when the things of this world seem to be going against us, like our personal health or the health of a loved one. We can be helped in our faith if we remember our faith is not a mythology, but true history. Pope Benedict reminds us in Verbum Domine that the historical fact is a constitutive dimension of the Christian faith, meaning that the historical fact is essential to our faith. Starting from the fact that Jesus did indeed walk the earth, and eyewitness accounts like the ones in today's gospel document his presence, ministry, and miracles. We can remember also that our faith was built on the blood of the martyrs, whose eyewitness accounts were so powerful they transformed the world. And we can also look at the saints, who offer us models of how to live a faith-filled life. These women were just like, and men were just like us, who upon hearing the gospel and being set on fire by the Holy Spirit, set themselves on a path, with God's help, to an ever-deepening walk of faith, even though sometimes it did not appear so faithful. But they continued on in their faith, and that's why we call them saints, not because they had perfect faith, but because they continued to practice their faith over the long haul and spread the word and love of God to others. As part of our Catholic history, we can look to the many encyclicals from our popes for faith also. A recent one from Pope Francis is the encyclical Light of Faith. In it, there is a section on faith and truth that is appropriate to our to today's gospel and our faith life in general. I'm going to summarize this section here, but I think the whole section is worth taking the time to read and is available online if you Google Light of Faith and click on a link to the Vatican website. In this section, Pope Francis explains an interaction between King Ahaz and Isaiah that occurs in the book of Isaiah from chapters 7 through 9. The king is terrified by his enemies, and he's trying to figure out if he should make an alliance with the great and powerful Assyrian Empire. Isaiah tells him to trust God and reminds him in Isaiah 7:9, "Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm." The prophet tells him instead to trust completely in the solid and steadfast rock, which is the God of Israel. Because God is trustworthy, it is reasonable to have faith in him, to stand fast on his word. Pope Francis points out that there's another translation which may help us here from that verse, Isaiah 7:9, that can be translated, "Unless you believe, you will not understand." So the prophet is challenging the king and us to understand the Lord's ways, both in faith that leads to firmness of life and to believe so that we may try to understand, so that we may understand. And Pope Francis goes on to say in this section, we need knowledge, we need truth, because without it, we cannot stand firm. We cannot move forward. Faith without truth does not save. It does not provide sure footing. It remains a beautiful story, the projection of our deep yearning for happiness, something capable of satisfying us to the extent that we are willing to deceive ourselves. Either that, or it is reduced to a lofty sentiment, which brings consolation and cheer, yet remains prey to the vagaries of our spirit in the changing seasons, incapable of sustaining a steady journey through life. Francis points out that if such were faith, King Ahaz would be right not to stake his life and the security of his kingdom on a feeling. But because of its intrinsic link to truth, faith is instead able to offer a new light, superior to the king's calculations, for it sees further into the distance and takes into account the hand of God, who remains faithful to his covenant and his promises. What follows here is a summary of this section from that little section, and it goes like this. There is a bond between faith and truth, Science and technology and engineering provide us with great truths that give us great comfort and ease and can help us live healthier and happier lives. But we as a culture think it's the only truth that can be shared and used for a basis for common understandings and discussions. We allow for subjective truths, but relegate them to the individual truths only. But truth, with a capital T, is regarded with suspicion. In the end, we are left with relativism, in which the question of universal truth, and ultimately means the question of God, is no longer relevant. And he finishes up by saying, my summary finishes up by saying of him that Pope Francis said, the question of truth is really a question of memory, deep memory, for it deals with something prior to ourselves and can succeed in uniting us in a way that transcends our petty and limited individual consciousness. It is a question about the origin of all that is, in whose light we can glimpse the goal and thus the meaning of our common path. In the final analysis, the truth we profess and have faith in is the truth in the origin of all that is, not faith in the truth of what we have discovered and understand so far. So for us, Catholic Christians, we have this huge body of work that allows us to look at the record, the examples of faith, the voice of truth, and to deny these facts borders on revisionist history, to lose the deep memory Pope Francis described. But isn't that what we do? Don't we forget world history and our own history when we live a life full of fear and stress? Don't we say to ourselves, this time God will abandon me? Like when an aging parent isn't getting better and the last years of her life seem to lack dignity and there's nothing you can do about it to make it better. However, in faith, we can always turn to Jesus and look at his life and ministry for comfort and to bolster our faith. Our gospel today offers us two more examples of faith and Jesus' response to them. The examples in the gospel point out why we have faith in the miraculous and in our evidence of the deeper truths we are believer at work in the world. Let's look for a moment at the synagogue official. Imagine for a second what that moment looked like for that man. I think some of us have been in that place. He's a good, pious man, we assume, because he's part of the hierarchy of the Jewish temple. For him, to go to Jesus meant he was truly, truly desperate. Desperate as any parent would be to save their child's life. Out of desperation, all pride and stripped away, faith and humility took its place. And we believe these characteristics of what Jesus saw and motivated him to cure the little girl. Then we have the woman with the medical condition. This woman suffered from an illness that implied legal impurity. In addition to her physical suffering, she suffered the shame of feeling unclean according to the law. The Jews not only regarded a woman in this position as being impure, everything she touched became unclean as well. Therefore, in order not to be noticed by the people, the woman came up from Jesus from behind and out of delicacy, touched only his garment. Her faith is enriched by her expression of humility. She is conscious of being unworthy to touch Jesus, but she does so anyways. The woman's healing and the little girl's resurrection are both miraculous. Their very existence challenges our modern understanding of physical bodies. But in the spirit of the verse I quoted earlier from Isaiah, we need to believe the words of today's gospel, so we can understand God's love for us. But I also see these as examples of faith healing them in another way. The woman represents healing when we have faith and actively seek Jesus' help in faith, knowing we are not worthy, but asking anyways as a repentant sinner, hoping, but knowing, if I only touch him, I can be healed. The good news is that we do have this opportunity to touch him. Every time we come to the Eucharist and participate in the sacrament of reconciliation, we can be touched and be healed by Jesus. The little girl represents when we are asleep in our faith, how Jesus can come to us without our consciously knowing it and wake us, gently taking our hand and saying, "Rise," and we are resurrected and born again. But this is not the end of our faith experience, for if we are to live out our faith, we must share how we have been healed with the world, becoming Christ's hands and feet to help a broken and hurting world heal. May he be praised forever. Amen.